for tuning in to episode number 6 of the Email Design Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And we're going to discuss the latest news in the email design world. So Jason, first up on the day, we've got a little bit of Microsoft news.
Yeah. Microsoft announced recently that they are acquiring a company called Acompli that makes a mobile email client. So this is really interesting. This is kind of following along the same paths of Mailbox being acquired by Dropbox and Google releasing their Inbox app. So there's a lot of this movement behind these mobile email platforms that kind of reimagine how we interact with email, how we get stuff done. And this looks a lot like Microsoft kind of jumping on that bandwagon and seeing what it can do with an application like that. I think it's interesting. We should note that Acompli kind of gears itself towards work email and professionals, which fits right in line with what Microsoft has always been, very, very geared towards the enterprise crowd. But it's, I'm interested to see what they kind of do with Acompli, if they let it live on and keep updating it, if they take some of these concepts and work it into an Outlook app, something like that. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think this is a clearly reactive type of move from Microsoft. Obviously, they didn't innovate and do something out on their own. They pretty much took a back seat and they saw what's happening in the marketplace. And now with the rise of the apps of Mailbox and now Inbox by Gmail, Microsoft has all this pressure now to sort of get into that space. And when you look at the Acompli, like the UI and the UX, it's literally the whole swiping mechanisms. It follows that same UX behavior. So they're definitely trying to get into this market, and it's funny how they became a bit reactionary to do so. It's typically Microsoft. So I think it does bring up the good question of, will this actually live on? You know, I wouldn't say that this has been a great strategy for Microsoft in the past of like acquiring products and then having a great integrated solution. I would say I'm not too hopeful that they're going to do a great job of turning this app into some sort of core key Outlook app that people will really use and love. I do understand the whole work focus, but I'm not sure if, as a company, they really have the culture of design enough to really transfer it. And we've seen the fragmentation in just the Outlook.com apps, right? Like between even on the web apps and the mobile apps, it's like different rendering. It's different experiences. So I don't know what you think, if they're going to be successful with being able to keep this and integrate it into their products, Jason, or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's always up in the air with Microsoft. Lately, I feel like they've been doing a lot better at like design and being more open about their process and handling things a lot better. But it's still, when it, at the end of the day, it's still Microsoft. It's still a huge company. There's a lot of stuff that gets lost when you try to integrate a smaller app with this large context, you know. So yeah, I think it's definitely up in the air, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think this, if you take a step back and look at it from the bigger picture, this is really a big reason as to why people continue to make email apps. And we're always like, oh, why are there so many email apps? We're like, oh, here's somebody trying to solve email again. And it's like, well, if the big companies like Dropbox and Google and now Microsoft are just going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars between them just acquiring little apps and little app companies, and they want the talent and the technology with the apps, I mean, people are going to continue to keep making these apps. It's not going to stop. There's going to be this continued fragmentation in the marketplace, and us as email designers are going to continue to suffer from a rendering perspective because we have to accommodate for all these different platforms.
Yeah, and we've definitely seen that with Mailbox being the worst example, where rendering a Mailbox just sucks in every sense of the word, you know? So yeah, it's definitely trying for email designers as more and more of these are released. We have to account for them. A lot of cases we can ignore them for the most part. They don't have a large user base, but when you get up to these levels where they're getting acquired by these big companies, there's a lot of a marketing push behind them, then it becomes a big problem for email designers.
Absolutely. Hey, after the break, we are actually going to get into some Gmail talk, talk about a recent change they made to the Gmail app, what they had to say in a recent AMA discussion about responsive email for both Gmail and Inbox by Gmail, and go over a really cool hack to make your email responsive in Gmail Webmail today. That's right. Responsive email in Gmail Webmail is actually possible today thanks to a new hack. But we just want to take a quick break to let you know that you can visit the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. All the show notes and links to everything we discuss are right there, so you don't have to worry about it. All the past episodes are there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Links are on emaildesignpodcast.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter at the bottom of every single podcast post, so you can sign up, and when we have a new podcast, make sure you get our newsletter and you'll never miss an episode of the podcast again. And if you're tweeting, be sure to tweet with the hashtag #EmailDesignPodcast. Jason and I are following that hashtag and we're interacting with you guys. So if you have questions, comments, you want something featured on the show, just let us know and we'll hit you up there for sure. And we have a special 14-day free trial of Litmus. If you go to litmus.com/gift card, you can use the coupon code podcast and get a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Jason, there's nothing worse than trying to get your email to render well in all the different email clients and troubleshooting. It's just a hassle. Like, if you had to do that by hand, just sending out email tests to go from client to client to check it, it's just atrocious. And Litmus, you can just run a simple test, get screenshots of what your campaign looks like in over 30 different email clients. And there's just a whole slew of other awesome things like email analytics, so you can know where your subscribers are opening their email, what email clients, where in the world they're opening them. Really cool data. And then awesome other things like Builder. You can build your email with this really awesome code editor specifically catered for email. Just a really, really awesome thing. It really helps make the email design process so much easier. It makes your life a lot easier. So go to litmus.com/gift card and use the coupon code podcast for a 14-day free trial of Litmus. And so the next story we want to get to now is Gmail. And we're going to be covering a lot of Gmail for the rest of the episode because they've been in the news recently. But Gmail recently made an update to their Gmail app in which they were automatically increasing font sizes on the Gmail app on the iPhone. And it had a simple message at the top that said, would you like to see the mobile friendly? That was the language they used. Would you like to see the mobile-friendly version of this message? And when you click or tap on that message, it would essentially bump up the font sizes for your email. And that way you could have something more legible, because typically if you're using a full-width email, Gmail was just scrunching it and scaling it down, and it was very hard to read and very unusable. And so this was really the first thing that we've ever really seen them do to try to accommodate for a mobile experience for the Gmail app. They really haven't done anything up to this point. They obviously haven't done anything with supporting responsive email in any way, shape, or form. And so I guess it brings up the question, Jason, do you think that this was an active test with the given, you know, knowing how the email community has been responding with their voices raising, wanting responsive email? Do you think this was like an active thing that they knew they were doing, and or do you think that this was something that, whoops, just kind of fell through the cracks? Because actually, this appears to not even be happening anymore. But for a week there, it seemed like this was out in the wild. What do you think?
Yeah, so that's the interesting part is this happened. We had some reports that come into the Litmus community. People were talking about it. Then sure enough, a few days later, it seems to have disappeared. So one might say that it was a mistake, it was erroneously pushed, it shouldn't have happened. But I actually feel like this may have been intentional, and they just didn't get the reaction they wanted. Like you said, we've had a lot of surprising discussions with the Gmail team and at Inbox Love and on Google or on Reddit, which we'll get to in a second here. So it seems like Gmail is very receptive to email designers' wishes for supporting responsive emails or improving the experience on mobile. And I feel like they wanted to do this. They actually did push it. And then they may have been monitoring people's reactions to it and found out it didn't work very well. They saw it in action. Emails kind of broke and ended up looking worse off for the most part. So they just rolled that back. But I think it's an indication that Gmail's actually taking mobile email a little bit more seriously, which is a very good thing. So hopefully that takes the form of them actually implementing good CSS support and media query support in the future.
Yeah, I actually think it was a pretty good implementation. So I got to see it happen on my iPhone for quite a few emails. Mm-hmm. For most of them, it didn't break them. But for a few, it just absolutely was atrocious. Yeah. So I felt like in the campaign monitor example here that they have in their blog post is a great example of where it worked really, really well. Mm-hmm. And like the text was cleaner and it was bumped up and it was really nice. But the problem was is it would totally, if you didn't have like line height specified, mm-hmm. or your email just wasn't really too bulletproof, then you would get like over like lapping line heights and text, and it was just a mess.
Yeah.
And the other thing too was that it would actually scrunch buttons. Mm-hmm. So it actually made buttons on mobile worse comparatively to like what your actual responsive version might be.
Yeah.
For some versions. So it was just lacking a bit, and I think from an email designer perspective, it's like, you know, it's really just another variable in the equation in which mm-hmm. Gmail can break your email. Like, it's a very hard thing to have to test for this, right? Like, this is something that you sort of have to do interactively. You can't just get mm-hmm. a screenshot for it. So the email designer in me doesn't like this change. I'd rather just have them go to responsive email. I guess I'm encouraged. I think it was an active test. I'm encouraged that they might be thinking about this and exploring it. So I'm super encouraged by that. But the email designer in me is just like, don't do anything unless you're going to have full support, because you're just going to end up breaking emails and creating suboptimal experiences for
someone. That's definitely my fear, is that the Gmail team might be looking for an easy solution for responsive email. And that takes the form in this test of them just bumping up the text size, regardless of what anybody else is saying, you know. So hopefully they just support CSS and media queries outright and don't try to look for this one fix for everything solution, because that's not going to work for everybody. So hopefully they're taking it seriously and we see some good improvements in the coming months and the next year.
Justin over at Fresh Inbox actually blogged about a hack that he had for it, and it basically was to like create a super long dash and basically. And there's a couple other hacks out there that's like, well, if you put two TDs around your text or whatever, basically you just want to make sure that your email is bulletproof with your actual structure. Just make sure the structure is the full width and make sure you have defined line heights now. That's what I would just recommend to avoid possible issues with this. But like we said, this doesn't appear to be in action anymore. But again, it was something interesting to talk about. So just make sure it's bulletproof.
It's interesting, too, that they didn't announce anything. We talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, how these development teams don't, they're terrible at communicating this information to email designers, email marketings, that community. So I think that's another good takeaway here, is that Google will just roll stuff out like this and not tell anybody, and we have to figure it out on our own. So hopefully, maybe one of them is listening to this podcast and they can post some updates on the blog and get that communication working a little bit better.
Yeah. It'd be great to know, I guess, in defense of Gmail, the only thing is that if this was a test, they might not want to advertise just
that's true.
Tests, you know what I mean, in trial to see. So I would understand from that point. But yeah, hopefully they just don't bring it back, because I don't think it's really helping the masses from my perspective. But Jason, what have they had to say recently about supporting responsive email?
Yeah, so the Inbox team actually did an Ask Me Anything, an AMA, on Reddit, which are very popular. They're good ways for people to just kind of pick the brains of people in different industries, businesses, celebrities, whatever, you know. So the Google Inbox team did this AMA on Reddit, and a couple of people chimed in and started asking about responsive support, media query support. And I think the main takeaway here is, let me find some of these quotes here. So was this you? Are you Pinball 10, Kevin?
I will officially out myself as Pinball 10. Yes.
Alright, so Pinball 10 like point blank asks them, do you have plans to support responsive email? And interestingly, they say it's on their radar, but they make that kind of old claim that there's security issues, why it hasn't been implemented yet, and they equate it to last year's rollout of enabling images in Gmail and the same kind of security issues. So that's kind of the reasoning why it isn't there. But a little bit later on, they said that implementing media queries and CSS support is actually one of their priorities. So that's definitely a very, very encouraging sign that we're going to see something change within the next year, hopefully, on Gmail's end.
Yeah, so I think when you look at some of these threads, some interesting points for me. Number one, we confirmed what we basically already knew, but I think it's the first time we've ever seen somebody from Gmail actually confirm that Inbox by Gmail and Gmail use the same rendering engine. Mm-hmm. So I think we pretty much all knew that, but the software engineer actually did say that, hey, they're one and the same. The security thing, as the other point to bring it up, to me, that is just no excuse. And to me, that's just an excuse of not making it a priority. Like, this problem has already been dealt with. Like, I'm sorry, but Google, you cannot tell me that AOL has out-innovated you, because AOL Mail is implementing media queries and they are not having security problems. In fact, you don't see AOL ever have issues really with rendering, or like, when was the last time AOL Mail was in the news? And like, I understand, like, yeah, nobody uses AOL Mail, but like, you know, we see Yahoo continue to have issues and problems, and they're making changes to their rendering all the time. Outlook's terrible with all their stuff, and they're in the news. And now, you know, Gmail's the same way. But like, AOL Mail, like, they're doing it right and doing it properly. Like, if all of the webmails weren't doing it and they all together were like, no, we're not doing it because it's a security concern, that would be one thing. But the fact that one of them has actually already solved this problem, to me, is not an excuse. Like, it shouldn't be a thing. Now, granted, the way they launched their image caching last year or this past year was just not good. I mean, emails were breaking with the images. You know, that was just a terrible experience for a lot of users. I agree. You don't want to launch something like that, you know, for responsive email. But you can't tell me that it's like this massive security concern, because it's something that's already been solved. Even if you are at a little bit bigger scale, like, it can be done, especially on the mobile apps. Like, if you don't want to support media queries in your desktop, you know, webmail environment, okay, I sort of get that. But the fact that you're not even going to let your mobile apps be responsive is just ridiculous, in my point of view. I mean, to me, it's just no excuse. So that's my take on the whole security aspect of the entire thing.
That's, I think, another good takeaway here is somebody asked whether or not Inbox will be replacing Gmail in the long run. And they said basically short term, no. It's a separate product. They're still testing it out, but long term, they would love everybody to jump on board for Inbox and just kind of kill away Gmail, the Gmail app, independently. So again, those use the same. They specifically said they use the exact same HTML sanitizer and rendering and stuff. But I don't know. Hopefully, they fix that before pushing more heavily in their platform.
I would hope that the good news be that once they make a change, because it's all using the same rendering engine, it should be a change.
Everything's fixed.
That everything should be fixed. Yeah. That's how it should happen. Will that happen? We don't know with Gmail. You never know with Gmail, but that's what should happen. And actually, I think it's kind of funny, too. After the AMA, I had made a quick graphic and put it up on Twitter as a joke as to how I thought media queries might be enabled for Gmail. And I just took how there's like the, oh, images are not displayed, like display images button that they have on Gmail. And then I just flipped that out and said, media queries are not displayed, render media queries. And they might do something different, like the mobile friendly. I did it as a joke, but it is kind of funny looking at what they just did with their text size change recently. That was pretty much what they did, right?
That's
they just
exactly
had,
what they did,
put the mobile friendly version on. So I think that's really funny, and they might be doing something more along those lines if they ever do get around to mentioning or implementing it. And one final point I want to make about this too, though, I do have to laugh. I mean, I know some people said I might have been a bit harsh and a bit quick to judge because they were trying to clarify the question that was asked. But one of the questions was like, I'm currently in a role as an HTML email developer. And they asked the question, like, will Inbox have improved HTML rendering, including use of media queries in the form of app media? And the initial reaction, the initial response was, you know, what, when you say improved HTML rendering, are you talking about the entire web page, basically meaning mm-hmm. the app, or just message contents, in which they meant the email? And it's like, to me, it just shows how there's just such a disconnect between the actual people who are working on the product and those who clearly understand the problem at hand. Like, mm-hmm. to me, I understand that perhaps the question wasn't worded the best, but when you read, I'm currently in a role as an HTML email developer, and you do not understand the context of what they mean when it comes to HTML rendering and the use of media queries, to me, that just shows a massive disconnect between the people who are working on the product and where the current problem and pain points are. And to me, I find it astounding still, with all the noise that's being made, that there are so many people on the Gmail team in these apps who don't even understand that there is a problem, or that mm-hmm. there is a key or core issue. I understand if it's like, hey, you know, I know there's an issue. I don't know the intricacies of the HTML email development process, but mm-hmm. I do know that this is an issue. Like, that would be completely fine to be more expected. But the fact that, you know, they just don't even recognize or understand for a lot of the people working on it, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. And I don't think this is exclusive to Gmail. I mean,
no.
Most teams have developers that don't understand the area in which they're working because it's not something they do every day. So I don't want to come down too hard, but yeah, absolutely. It's a problem because there is that disconnect. And if a developer doesn't understand the industry in which they have to build a product, then you're going to run into some of these hurdles. And we need that, that understanding to make our lives easier, make this product better for everybody, users and developers alike.
Absolutely. But there's a new hack in town, Jason, in which you can actually today, right now, make your email responsive in Gmail Webmail. Not the apps, but Gmail Webmail. And that's actually possible today. And this is really, really cool. A new hack from Mark Robbins. Shout out to Mark. He's an awesome community moderator over at the Litmus community. Go to litmus.com/community to check out a lot of his cool contributions. But he wrote a blog post over on his blog at emailcodegeek.com talking about responsive email and Gmail. And he did something that I honestly would never have thought to do to make responsive email work in Gmail. This is how weird it is. So the first thing that he does, and the whole key of this, is you need to make your outer table of your email responsive. And what he does is he uses the lang HTML attribute as a way to target Gmail. Justin of Fresh Inbox blogged recently, and we've covered this in a past podcast, about how you can target Gmail through the title or lang attribute for CSS in the head of the document, which you need for media queries and responsiveness. And so it's this cool new hack Justin found, and Mark's gone and done this and applied it to making the emails in Gmail actually responsive. So he simply uses the lang HTML attribute to target the outer table. So at first he's like, you know, let's just change the max width, right? So if we have a max mm-hmm. width, let's just change the width to 100%, which is what you would typically do. But then the next thing that we're actually going to do, and you know, that was just exploring it, was like, well, now once you get the browser down to 700 pixels and the email's like fixed to a certain point, and so is the sidebar that you have. So that left-hand side of the Gmail app where it shows like your inbox, your spam, all your different folders and whatnot, mm-hmm. that whole bar is actually a fixed width. And so what he does is he actually calculates the viewport width. So he uses 100% of the viewport, and then he subtracts using calc the width of that sidebar to essentially make up the difference for where the email starts for its responsiveness. And then he floats it left as well. And then you can essentially create a little mini responsive email in Gmail right there, which is just insane because, I mean, we use calc at Litmus for like builder stuff and making it responsive. Yeah. But like to actually think that, okay, well, this isn't going to work like in the email, but I just need it to be responsive on the page. It was just mind-blowing to me. Like, to use calc to make an email responsive in Gmail was just a fascinating concept and not something that I think I would have even really thought of too much. And then you can again, scale up your media query higher or lower depending on what you want to do with your design. So like he said, I've decided I want my email smaller than 300 pixels. So he basically adds another max width and puts a set width, sort of like an adaptive width on it. Mm-hmm. You know, the usefulness of this is it's really more of a cool hack. I don't know that it's super important or would be like something that I would even really do for daily email campaigns. But I would say something that would be interesting to sort of check is that those people who have in the Gmail labs, you can basically have like an Apple Mail style view where you can like see the preview on the left-hand side. That's actually a really small window for Gmail, even on a desktop. You really don't have much width. Like if you just have a standard 600 pixel width email, it's not going to work there. So I think it would be interesting to try to adapt it for that view potentially, because responsiveness would be easier or be more necessary there, essentially. So but what are your thoughts on this, Jason? It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, like you said, I think the utility of this is almost non-existent. That being said, I think an interesting thing to take away from this is a case where Mark Robbins kind of experience as a web designer, web developer, is coming into play in email because he's using, like you said, that calc, and then he's using the viewport width values, which is something you'll never see. If somebody only works in email, you'll never see that happen. They won't use those two things. It's definitely something that's on the web design side of stuff. So it's interesting to see somebody bring their web design experience into the realm of email design and think about it in a way that most email designers typically wouldn't look at a problem and try to solve it that way. So that's where we kind of come up with these really clever kind of hacks or ways around certain things that a lot of email designers won't think of. So that's really what I was impressed with, that whole method of bringing in these different tactics on email. But yeah, like I said, I can't really think of a good use case outside of the Gmail Labs thing. But definitely cool to see people hacking away on email as usual.
Yeah, it's really cool. So if you play around with this hack, definitely like play around with it and let us know if you come up with some really cool use cases for it. It's obviously something that we haven't really touched on too much. We just saw it and was like, wow, that is so cool just from a pure hack perspective. So mad props to Mark Robbins. Check him out at emailcodegeek.com and send him some love his way for sure.
He has some cool experiments on that blog too. He's very active in the community, so comment on his blog, start a discussion and community with him, and he's sure to see it. Yeah, so some fun stuff kind of finish up this episode. On Twitter the other day, there's this theme that's been running through. It says, films ruined by email marketing, hashtag email movies. And Elliot over at Action Rocket started this off, and he said, films that have been ruined by email marketing, go. And just everybody kind of weighed in and started riffing on this idea of email-themed movies, and some of these ended up having hilarious
It went
results.
Viral, Jason.
Yeah.
It went viral.
I guess, yeah, there you go.
There is some hardcore email geekery going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mark Robbins before had it. A ton in here that I loved.
Oh, yeah. I thought he won the whole thing. Like, if we had to, like, give out the prize for, like, the number one hashtag email movies, like, I thought Mark took it, too.
I love this. And Beck said, well, there's the code father and she starts throwing out some quotes. You come to me on my daughter's wedding and you ask me to code an email. Like that's amazing. I love that. I'll make you a TD you cannot realign. That's so good. There's some other good ones down here.
Yeah. I like the campaign before Christmas. I thought that was funny. Cause that actually happens too.
Yeah. Knights of the Round Table, self padding zero, border zero, self spacing zero, self padding zero. So good. One floor over the cuckoo's nested tables.
Yep. I liked
Code Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, I liked Divergent, but the DIV was
a div.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good too.
I love the Mad Max Width.
Mad Max Width, yeah. Pride and Pre-Header, that's a good one.
One of my favorites was, I think a little bit later on, let's see if I can. I love this 2001 A Spacing Issue in Outlook 13, but it's okay in 7 and 10 Odyssey.
Yeah. That's typical email right there. Last Action Rocket Hero. That was a good shout out to Action
Taxi
Rocket.
Taxi for Email Driver.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Tables.
Oh, God. So good.
I had one. I said the Polar Outlook Express.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that one. Well, this one, You Got Mail. That's not even a name change, but
yeah, You Got Mail. I saw somebody else had, like, You've Got Gmail.
Yeah.
Silver Pop Linings Playbook. That's pretty good, actually, like, doing yeah. a spiff on, you know, an ESP.
I love these email chic geek ones. Men in the hex value for black.
Yeah.
00000. Yep. The color purple and hex value again.
Yep.
There's your Polar Outlook Express, Silver Pop Linings Playbook. Some of these are so good. Transformers.
Text Transformers, yeah. I did Catch Me If MSO Can.
Yeah. That's good.
Double opt-in indemnity. That's pretty good. How to Train Your Outlook Tips. Oh, I like this one. Easy Ahref.
Yeah. I think this one might be my favorite. This Braveheart. And it has the character entity for the heart symbol.
Yeah. Yep.
I love this.
UTF, or it's like UTF-8, but like it's UTF Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good by Mike Reagan over at Action Rocket. Mark Robbins, he said, I like this too because it just showed his hack. Like he said, the silence of the, and then it was the hack with Lang equals X dash. So
yeah.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, there's some great ones in here. Yeah. If you have some time, we'll obviously put this in the show notes and peruse it at your leisure and have some fun with it.
I thought what was funny, too, is like even Elliot went down and he made a movie poster for one that.
Oh, yeah. Let me find this CTA.
I think it would be amazing if somebody took time to like Photoshop and make the like the posters of these movies with the new names.
Oh, God, that'd be fantastic.
That would be, like, an amazing Tumblr, like emailmovies.tumblr.com. Like, I don't know. Somebody needs to go and Photoshop all these titles. That needs to be, like, the next level thing to do. Because some of these names, some of these names are just so, so good. And they're so funny.
I just love this poster. It's CTA, the call to action, and his adventure in email. And up in the little basket, you have a find out more button just sticking out. It's classic.
Yeah. So think up stuff, contribute to the hashtag email movies on Twitter. And yeah, if you're interested in Photoshopping some stuff and getting a Tumblr out, just tweet out to the hashtag email design podcast. And maybe
that might be my holiday project this year.
Yeah. Maybe we can. Yeah. It's a good hack week project. We should
there you go.
Look into do that. It'd be a good marketing thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely check out the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. Be sure to tweet along with the hashtag email design podcast for interacting with me and Jason. We're checking all your tweets there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, so you can download the podcast anytime, listen to it. And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter so you never miss a single episode of the podcast right over at emaildesignpodcast.com. And remember, we have a nice 14-day free trial of Litmus for you. So simply go to litmus.com/gift card and use the coupon code podcast so you can have an awesome time previewing how your email will look in over 30 different email clients and all other goodness like subject line checkers, link checkers, image checks. We got all good stuff in there now. So be sure to go over to litmus.com/gift card and use the coupon code podcast. Oh yeah, we have a new slogan we need to end the show with now, Jason, right? It's when we sign off, we gotta say until next time, keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line, right? Yeah. For now. Although we love Gmail, like if you wanna actually support media queries and CSS in the head, and that way we don't have to do inline styling, like we'd love to change our slogan. But yeah, until next time, keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line. We'll be right back.